Blog Talk Radio.
Genesis 16 is our scripture for today, starting at verse 5. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Verse 6. "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Scripture, Genesis 5 and 6. We're speaking of God of the invisible. When you call on God, who sees everything, everyone, remember that you're praying to the one who gives purpose in the midst of your pain, purpose in the midst of your joy. When you call upon the God who sees all, God's eye is up on you. It's up on your situation, and every word that you say, God is right there. So we come tonight just to learn just a little bit more about God and question ourselves and get ourselves ready before we go into our quiet time with God. So I'm glad that you were able to join me wherever you're at and whatever time of day or night. I just thank God for your being, thank God for your presence, and just wanting to be closer to God, to wanting to have God reveal his purpose of your life to you. So as we study tonight, we just open ourselves up and we're just inviting the Holy Spirit to come and do just that. Just show us who it is that he would want us to be tonight, what it is he wants us to say, and what it is that he come to teach us tonight. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for your teaching, and may you just open up our minds and our hearts and we can lay everything down at the altar. And we come up just saying, thank you, Jesus, and we just invite you to just come and shower over our minds, over our spirits, and take control. And may we feel your Holy Ghost Spirit in our lives on a daily basis. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Land. This is your host, Von Dumas, and I am here to just open up the word tonight, and let's just read through and see what God has for us, shall we? Well, so we started just in Genesis 16, and so we're talking about Sarah, and Sarah's being impatient and deciding that since she was not able to bear any kids or had not bore any at this point, she was just going to handle it in a different way. So as we notice, first of all, let me just start by saying that we know that you can open any paper or you can turn on the news and you're going to be bound to see the world that's suffering. That's all you have to do is turn on the news. You'll see a world of suffering in so many different areas. And more than anything, you are acutely familiar just with the chaos that's present in your own life. Amen? So we're told from our Christian infancy that God's plan is never a mistake, that there is no plan B, not even man's exile from Eden. It was not a surprise. So the question lies then, but if God is operating on plan A, right? We're told there is no plan B. He knows all. How should we pray when he's leading us through the hardship that we've been talking about for the last three or four sessions? How should we pray then, since he knows all, he sees all? But sometimes we forget that his eye is still on us. But we spoke about the refinery and how he's constantly sitting there watching as we're going through the fire, and how the fire does not destroy or harm us, but it's actually just removing all of the things that will separate us from God. It's just removing all of those dross so that he can melt those away and he can see his image in you and in your situation. So the way we relate to God in prayer is a good indicator of our relationship with him. Do we come before him only to beg for change in our current circumstance? Do we petition him on behalf of our friends or petition him on behalf of strangers? Someone asks, will you pray for me? Can you pray for me about this or that? We say, yes, I'll pray for you. But do we actually go before the Lord in prayer about that situation for that friend or stranger? Do we ask to see his character more clearly? Have you ever asked God, God, just, oh, hallelujah, show me your character more clearly? And then do we listen to God? Are we so busy babbling, crying, that we forget to listen to God? Next to biblical giants like Abraham and Sarah, the Egyptian slave Hagar seemed at best to hold the role of maybe a supporting actress. She wasn't the lead actor. That was Sarah, the best, I would say, the supporting actress, okay? But the spotlight is all hers as we look at Genesis 16. Remember, it's at a time when God was spoken of only in broad, majestic terms like Elohim, which, of course, means the creator God. He was spoken of in Shaddai, which means the Almighty. Hagar responded to hearing the Lord by giving him her own intimate personal name that still defines our theologians today. She called him Elroi, which is the God who sees me. That was her own personal name, the God who sees me. I want you to live by that. You see again in Genesis 16, the scene is set. And it's a common theme in a biblical narrative where Sarah, whom we will know later as Sarah, has thus far been incapable of giving her husband an heir. Now, let's see, she's pushing to like 76 at this time. So according to the custom of her day, we got to look back in her day, she makes her slave girl a surrogate. So as if forced, you know, she's a servitude anyway, but she takes the young maid servant and she commands to her that she sleep with her 86-year-old husband, Abram. And, of course, this young lady, she does, Hagar conceives. Culture for motherhood is a woman's most prized career. You know, so that's why Sarah was getting a little impatient. She's around 76. And motherhood, if you were not able to bear kids, you know, it was looked down upon. That was a woman's pride career. So Hagar knew, though, that even though she had conceived Abram's baby, that she would be stripped of all of the rights of that proudness, considering the way that this baby has been conceived. So either the pending release of her child of Sarah's waiting arms, she didn't know if she would just take the child away from her, or if growing pride in her ability to conceive herself, that Sarah would just decide to drive Hagar away by treating her bad or to scorn her. And Sarah did just that. Sarah's discipline of Hagar's rebellious ultimately caused the servant to flee. Now, so we've got to look at it both sides. You notice there's two sides to every story. So can you see, though, that Sarah's still feeling bad about the fact that she couldn't give this child to Abram? And can you see, though, that Hagar's got to feel like, even though she knows that, okay, this is not, you know, I'm not the head woman of this house, but she's got to feel like a little bit of, but I could give him something that his wife couldn't even give him. You hear what I'm saying? So can you feel the tension that's already must be going on in this household? This has got to be a lot of tension. And Abram has got to be probably walking on pins and needles of being around these two women all through this time. So it does, at a point, Hagar flees. And feeling unseen, She was feeling abused. She was feeling alone. And it tells us that Hagar ran away, and she ran to a potentially more dangerous place. She ran into the wilderness. And it's unclear how long the pregnant girl wandered there, but she is undoubtedly lost, and she's hungry and desperate to be seen by someone who will fight for her. She's just feeling the need for someone to be in her corner. But then something life-changing happened that day. God called her by name, confirming that she is indeed seen, that he sees her. He calls her by name. In fact, he found her. Genesis 16 and 7 says he didn't stumble upon her, but he pursued her. Now, during their dialogue, which is the heart of the prayer, God calls her with a mission. And in that mission, he tells her to go back to the very thing that she's running from. Isn't that something that sometimes when we get up and try to run away from something, and God may stop us, and in our prayer, when we stop to listen and stop crying and yelling and having our pity party, and he says, now that you have all of that out of the way, that was needed for you out of the time, now I need you to go on a mission. Yes, Father, I'll go. Where shall I go, my Father? And he says, turn around, and now I want you to go back to the very thing that you're running from. See, but he doesn't send her back empty-handed, and nor does he send us back empty-handed. He puts a little knowledge inside of us. He builds us up with a little comfort, gives us a cloth of understanding and extra strength before he sends us back. So he didn't send her back empty-handed. See, before the age of sonograms, the Lord told her something. The Lord tells her that she's pregnant with a son and that her descendants will be innumerable. More than promising that she would not die in the desert, that was just enough. If he just said, you're not going to die here in the desert, that should have been comforting enough because, again, remember, she's hungry, she's lost, she's just waiting on desperate for someone to see her, to fight for her. And then God calls her name. And now as he's sending her back, he gives her the little word, you're pregnant with a son, and that your descendants will be innumerable. So more than promising that she's not going to die in the desert, God's promise that Hagar, that he will continue to see her. He promised that he would continue to hear her prayers. And he promised that he would give her a role in the story that will someday encompass both Hebrews and Gentiles. See, Hagar can return to a less than ideal lifestyle. That didn't change. But now she's turning with confidence that she's not alone. Confidence that he said that he's going to still hear her prayers. Confidence that he will continue to see her. Confidence that he will still give her a role in life, that she's not insignificant, that her descendants will be innumerable. Confidence to return back into that situation. That is less than ideal, but confidence to go. A little bit more strength. She can hold her head up now. Walk a little bit higher. How many of us would go or say, I'm not going back? How many of us would go now with our head a little bit higher knowing that God is watching me. Through it all, God is watching me. Right now, you may have been told that turn around, go back. You got to eat crow. All the things that came out of your mouth that you said, you're going to have to walk back up in there and apologize. You're going to have to go back into your parents' home and apologize and let them know that you were sorry and you are going to abide by the rules of the house. You got to go back into that job. Set before that lawyer. Set before that judge, set before that doctor, set before that boss, and you've got to explain now what it is that God has put on your heart to say. You've got to now go to that spouse, go in front of your kids, and you've got to break down and let them know that God has showed you a different way, and now you've got to be obedient and humble yourself before the ones that are before you. God will give you the strength. God will give you the power. That achy pain that you feel is not going to last always. And God has a promise for you that he will always continue to see you. That he will always continue to hear your prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that you are not insignificant. Even though the situation where you're at may be less than ideal. You can go with confidence that you're not alone. See, the knowledge that she had been a key piece in a bigger plan lifted up her head. And then that message that she had from the Lord, it just tells us that the Lord is a personal God. And he's a personal God who sees you, God of the invisible. He sees you. And when we encounter our sufferings, our natural instinct, again, is just to retaliate or to just run away. And then sometimes escaping from that bad situation is God's plan for us. Hear me from his spirit now. That's why it's good to talk to God. Make sure you're asking him to show me your character more clearly. Let me get a better feel of you. Let me be able to know that it's your voice that is speaking to me so I know when to flee and what to say. Because sometimes escaping is God's plan. But often our limited human vantage point prevents us from grasping his eternal perspective. So in those situations, laboring through our dark and lonely places teaches us to just see beyond ourselves. And it teaches us to help advance God's kingdom in a broken world, the time Hagar spent with the Lord. Praying through our suffering equips us. We got to pray through the suffering pains. Pray through those things. Somebody said, I'm just going to be drinking my blues away, or I'm just going to drink away all of my fears. So that's the only thing that you have planned for your weekend? Yep, that's what I'm going to be doing. And I kind of do that every weekend. But see, it's not working if you got to do that every weekend. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a drink, if that's what you want to do. But is anything that defiles the body, is anything that goes beyond and comes before your God, is anything that you have to run to lay your burdens down at, and then you got to pick them all up and take them with you? That's not right. That's a false God. That's a false God. When you run to, you should be able to lay your burdens down. You will get up off of that altar, lightweighted, knowing that's handled. That's not my concern anymore. He's handling that. All I got to do now is keep my heart open, keep my ears open, as he directs me for when to flee, when to stay, what to say, when to say it, who to say it to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being available to us, Jesus. Been available to us to spend that time. Been available that we can come to you and pray through our suffering, knowing that it equips us to know you better, to know your character more intimately, and to put others before ourselves. And then through all of that, it helps us to find our purpose, all of that pain. You all know the purpose of your pain eventually, don't you? What was the purpose of me going through that? What was the purpose? As we reflect and explore, I remind you to reflect on these insights from supportive scriptures. If you have time, just explore the passages and journals, and then journal your responses to the passages. But I wanted you to write these down and just use these scriptures as your crutch that you can lean on. Because they are your supportive scriptures. Just to know, when you're going through and feeling like nobody cares, nobody hears your cry, people's giving you all kinds of solutions, but no one is there to actually walk you through that solution. No one is there actually to help you They see everything is due, and they have the means to help you, but they're trying to tell you what you did wrong instead of lending a hand and helping you through each step. Show you, my daughter. Here's yay and nay. Here's how you make the most of this situation. Instead of holding that your head up, lifting your head up, they're condemning you and making you feel even lower. They're talking about you. They're scandalizing your name. They're telling your story. They're telling how what they saw, how they found you, and what situations you're in. So when you're feeling invisible to even God, read Psalms 33, 13 and 15. See, it's the fact that God sees you enough for you to find your purpose in your dark and lonely places. Again, that's Psalms 33, 13 through 15. God sees you for who you are. He sees you for the talents that he's put inside of you. And he wants you to know that you look good in those talents. They fit you just right. No one else can work through what you're going through but you. He wants to show you how you can find a purpose, find some joy, find some comfort, even going through your dark and lonely places. You don't have to look like you're going through just because you're going through. Thank God I don't look like what I've been through. Thank God I don't look like what I'm going through. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People are running and ripping and doing all kinds of things to see anything and everybody else except God. But just remember, Matthew 5 and 8 reminds you that blessed are you. Blessed are the pure in heart. Don't you lie just because everybody else around you is influencing you to lie. Because they're calling you Miss Goody Two Shoes, or because they're doing all the wrong things. Don't you fall into that trap. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you sincerely prayed to see God's vision for your life? Sincerely. You say, I'm confused, and I don't even know what I want to be. I don't know where I need to go. I don't know what's next. But have you sincerely prayed and asked God to show you his vision for your life, even if it differs from your own vision of your life? You know, sometimes we live in fairy tale lands, and we think this and this and this, but if we actually look back down the road and you say, I never thought that I would have had this plan. I never even planned to go into the ministry. I never even planned to even become a doctor. I was planning to do this. I didn't even plan on having kids. And now here I am being awarded for this or different award or something. Have you sincerely asked God to show you his vision of what he has for you, for his plans that he has for your life? Matthew 5 and 8. And then I leave with you the Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer life was unwavering in the face of hardship. And God saw him and delivered him from the mouth of lions. Read through Daniel's 6, 10 through 23. Just read through the story. Awesome story. Do you pray only in times of need? Only when you've been thrown into the lion's den? Is that your hardest time that you're praying? Is that when you're praying? Only when you have a need? Or is your communication with God daily? Is your communication with God unwavering? Daniel 6, 10 and 23. When you're down, while you're up, actually, let me rephrase, when you're up, that's when you should already be preparing your hearts and your minds for the scriptures to make sure that when you're down, you don't have to waver because you're already strong. You've already been in his strength. You already have an unwavering relationship, communication with the Lord. And then let's look at Samuel, 1 Samuel. Hannah prayed passionately to the Lord. And he remembered her. And Hannah was in a situation the same as Sarah. Hannah was in a situation where she was barren. And she prayed passionately. She had a passion for praying to God. And he remembered her. So it's a purpose to show us that your prayer, get passionately about your prayer life. God will remember you. He may show you something that you didn't even know was possible for you. So let's 1 Samuel 1, and just do 1 through 20. Again, you get your captured in there, and you probably even go farther, because once you start to read, the word of the Lord is that taste and see that the Lord is good. And it just feeds you and feeds you. It's just like you're starving, and you didn't even know you were that hungry. And you start reading, and he starts revealing, and you start praying, and he starts answering, and he starts holding you. He starts comforting you. He starts lifting you up, and you turn around, and you've got a word. And people said, why are you telling everybody about this God? Because I feel good. He's a good God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. He's able to accomplish the seemingly impossible things in your life. And hanging out didn't do that for me. You said going over and being promiscuous just didn't do that for me. But when I'm in a passionate prayer life, when I walk in the life that I'm reading about in the Word, he starts to do these things that I thought was impossible. The world told me was impossible. They told Hannah that it was, impossible to bear a child. She had Samuel. They told Sarah it was impossible. Sarah even told herself it was impossible, even after the angels had came and revealed to her that God said that he was going to give her and Abraham a son. So they jumped the gun and decided, you know what, maybe he meant he needed a little help from me. Let me just get my maid servant and see, can she be a surrogate? God doesn't need your help. When he speaks into your life, when he speaks, his words will not come back to him void. However, you must be patient. He doesn't need you to jump in there and try to do the situation according to what you think and how you think it should be done. Let's continue, shall we? Now, that's your reflect and explore. So reflect on the different things of how you're feeling in your life, and then use the scriptures that I've just given you there to actually explore those scriptures, to use them as your support, your crutch in your times of need in those areas. And then I'll leave you tonight with a response, something that's going to cause you to respond. If you could just answer honestly, don't lie to yourself. If you're going to be a liar, please don't lie to yourself. Answer the following questions and then journal your thoughts. It means write your thoughts down. Question one, can you recall a time, past or present, when God asked you to labor through a difficult season? What did it teach you about his character? It may have been that you have been praying for that lost spouse to come and hear from the Lord. And the season seemed to have just been drawn out. It was a difficult season before they actually got to that point that you have been passionately praying about. Recall the time when God asked you to labor through, hang in there, stay in there, turn around, go back to that situation. Make sure you're hearing from the shepherd and not from some wolf. The setting they're trying to tell you, draw you back into a negative situation. You got to have a great communication with God in order to know that it is the shepherd's word that you're hearing. But once you did, just journal, write down, what did you learn about God's character through that whole season, that whole difficult season? What did you learn about God's character as you was going through that? And then the second one that I need a response from. How does God use your time of discomfort to maybe bring some comfort to others? Maybe because of what you were going through, that difficult season as you were going through, you may not even knew that somebody was watching you, but later come around to show you that because of the way that you handled that situation, it brought so much joy to me that it made me want to react in a positive way. How has God used your difficult seasons to bring comfort to someone else? Journal that down. And then lastly, if you were to give God a personal name, if you were to give God a personal name while you're praying, what would you call him? What would you call God, your personal God, the God that you talk to and answers you, directs you, leads you, guides you, stops you, disciplines you? What is your personal name for God? You know what you should do? I invite you to just write a prayer using your intimate name for God. Just write a prayer. A prayer to God using your intimate name that you have for God. The God is the name that just you and I, you know how spouses sometimes will have nicknames for each other because there's something intimate between them. There's something special there between them. What is your intimate name with God and your relationship with him? I invite you to just write that prayer using an intimate name. Journal down the times that he has used your difficult season to bring comfort to someone else. Journal down the time when God has asked you to labor through that difficult season and how you learned something about his character. What he learned about, what did you learn about his character that was different from what you would have even thought in your mind, different from the way that you would have handled the situation? You see, God is love. And God's love is a continuum. It's no beginning and it's no ending. It surpasses all understanding. It's over you, it's under you, it's around you. And now it's up to you to invite that love to be inside of you, to come live inside of you. If this is your day, if this is your time, this is your personal choice, he's not going to force you. He doesn't have anyone standing there that's going to pick you up and jerk you in the collar and make you do this. This is you. This is your intimate time. This is you. If you're looking for a way to communicate with the God of love, the God of peace, that same God that you run to when you've been thrown, feel like you're thrown into that lion's den, that God, to have his love around you on a daily basis, that God, all you have to do is just repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I thank you for loving me throughout my sin. I believe that you are the only true God. I believe that you are the creator of all things. And through you, you sent your son, Jesus Christ. And that he bore my sins, even though he had never sinned. And then he went as far and he gave his life that my sins may be covered up. Because the only way for me to get to you is through my sins to be covered. So he shed his blood for me. And I accept all that his shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I invite you to come live inside of me. Pour out your love inside of me. Make me a new creature in you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you feel that burning inside of you right now, you're starting to feel a little warm inside. You're starting to feel a little like something has been lifted up off of you. You may didn't even realize that you had a load on you, but now you feel a little lighter. the Holy Spirit. That's God himself moving inside of you. He's spirit, and he's connecting with your spirit. And now you just call upon him continuously. You continue to just talk to him. That's what prayer is. And he's going to show you his ways in your life. Remember, throughout any situation that you're in, look inward for his direction before you start speaking outwardly. God is love. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. God is there for you. The whole heavens is just rejoicing with your decision right now. And I just want to invite you to just contact me. I'll be more than happy to pray with you about a church that is preaching and teaching from the Bible. All churches don't preach and teach from the Bible. So don't just go because you think it's a church. People have all kind of different things that they just preach from. They make up their own word. Just like you may meet friends that just, they know it all and they just have something to say about everything. It's people like that. Those same people will go and open up a church and put a name on it, put a title on it. But it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with his goodness. Pray about where God wants you to be. I don't care what city or state that you're in. We can get together and God will lead us and direct us in all different areas. You can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. And then from there, if you want personal information, I'll be more than happy to get that for you. You say, I don't have a Bible. I can send you one. You know, you say, well, I don't have any, I don't even know where to go. I don't know where to, how to start this Christian walk. Let's talk about it. I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it, and let's see what God has for you. So whatever it is that you're doing today, no matter how far you're trying to run, no matter if you're feeling like Hagar and you're feeling like you've been abused and you're long and you don't know where to go, God has plan A. It's no plan B. He knows the plans that he has for you. And there's nothing you can do that will cancel his plans. You may be a little later starting out on the journey because of things that you've done, but you can still go the journey. You can still do what it is that God has for you to do. This is your friend, your host. This is Evangelist Von Dumas. And I just love being a part of your life through the word. So as you pray for me, I will continue to pray for you. Send all prayer requests to the walkwithmegod@aol.com, or you can leave a message here to Blog Talk. And remember, we love you here. But more importantly, God loves you. He really loves you, and his eye is on you. He sees you, and he's calling your name. Will you take out time to listen to him today? Until the next broadcast, it's always an honor and a pleasure, and I don't take it lightly. It's an honor and a pleasure to be in your homes, in your cars, on your jobs with you right now. So until the next time, God bless you. We love you. And remember, you need the word of God. Amen. Good night.